Hello and welcome to the second episode of the Provisional Nerf News Network podcast, the Nerf podcast where I remember the name of the podcast on the second time because the first time I wasn't recording correctly. This is KT of Family Foam Sport. I'm here with my co-hosts. I cannot say that word. I did that in the last one. I'm here with my co-hosts, Vile Mods and Jolt King 627.
Hello.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Well, Jolt, you've been organizing your workspace. That's good.
Yes, I have.
That's nice. So folks can look forward to the changes in that in your upcoming videos and having some storage for stuff.
I don't think any of the stuff that's being rearranged is even shown in videos, but it'll
fair enough.
Help let my collection expand even more unnecessarily.
That's something. That's important, too.
Extremely.
And Vile has also picked up some new storage recently.
Yeah, got storage this morning, actually. We had to get it craned in behind the house. We now have a storage shed. That was a little nerve-wracking, but it was good. I haven't had a chance to start organizing yet, but it's on its way.
That's exciting. Well, with no further ado, why don't we just go ahead and dig into this fortnight's topics. The last 2 weeks, we had an interesting time picking some of the topics for this week's episode, because there was some stuff that kind of was in between episodes, but just didn't quite make the cut. But I think the stuff that we did talk about, there's some interesting stuff going on right now. Mm-hmm. And why don't we actually dig in with something I know that there's a lot to say about in this chat is the Rival Pilot.
Presumably
if you're listening to this, you've watched the episode already, but the Rival Pilot is the new single shot Rival Blaster, and it is a break action, and the modding community has jumped onto this thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, you actually have it in hand. What do you have to say about it?
I already love it, and I'm already modding it, of course.
Vile was sitting here right before we started recording. I could hear the clicking as he was messing with it.
Yeah, I'm clipping some parts. I'm getting knee-deep into the modding side of this. So I've done a little bit of testing. Actually, I was talking to Jolt while I was testing some things out. I would say it's a really good little blaster. It's definitely going to have the same, and I said it in obviously, if you've already watched the news, it's going to have as much, if not more, modding potential than the knockout, because it's got a lot of potential. And then obviously the people that are picking it up, I've seen it on a lot of servers. Jolt as well has unfortunately had somebody beat him on certain mods.
Oh no. Yes, I've been beaten to the ultra conversion.
Yeah.
Shout out to Axel Sorax. Congratulations, you beat me.
But yeah, I will say there is some interesting stuff. There are some internals photos floating around. Some people, you know, talking about like the plunger tube has a long slit or, you know, cut out on the side of it, which people seem to be really upset about. But even through my own testing, I will tell you right now, if you close that off, it actually doesn't make it. It actually makes it worse. And I did that testing with Jolt on a VC, actually, and it was really surprising to see.
It's like a speedle situation, you were saying, right?
That's exactly what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Jolt, you can probably go into that where you learned about the quote-unquote speed hole of that. So.
Yeah, apparently they do this a lot. The tapered plunger tubes and things like that, it's all the same stuff. It's supposed to act like a speed hole so you can get the plunger rod moving faster, basically, at the expense of some of your air volume.
Right.
But yeah,
that makes sense.
It makes rival performance possible. Lot of them, you'll notice, if you make a seal too tight on like a stock Chronos, it'll lower the FPS.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, I will say there's a lot of potential. I did find out that so obviously the iron sights are enormous on this thing. But one thing I am eager to see are those who are big into the CAD and 3D printing community, because the rear black section is a whole separate piece. And I'm going to say it right here, right now, that is going to be a perfect spot for a stock attachment.
Ooh.
I believe it is going to be a whole piece that can be 3D printed and dropped in with a stock attachment. I'm calling it here.
I like stocks on weirdly small blasters.
Yeah.
It's always a good time. All right. Sweet. Well, yeah, I think the pilot's going to be a real hit. I can't wait to have access to it because where I am, everything shows up. I get everything last.
And I have not been able to acquire one either. I have went to multiple Walmarts, and I am getting very frustrated. And Vile here keeps gloating.
Well, because Vile, you got the only three in your area, right?
I was very surprised because we were talking about it, and you know, people were saying it was showing up, and I went onto the Walmart website while we were in discussion, like on a VC, and lo and behold, the local one next to me had them. And I grabbed all three that was on the shelf, and then I double checked, and none in the like Nevada region where I'm at had them. That was for some reason that was the only Walmart in the entire area that just magically had them on shelves, and even at least showed them, because I know sometimes their inventory in the online might not necessarily be in sync, but yeah, even the day after, it still showed nothing in the local area.
This is the kind of product that. It's going to have its heyday, whereas, you know, like the Knockout had a point where it was just like they were a dime a dozen. Like you could find them everywhere. They were on sale all the time. This is the kind of product that's going to be like that. Like that's just the way the supply cycle works. Right now, it's just wherever it's wound up for the first time, but it'll be in regular stock. I'm pretty confident for a long time. So hopefully it'll have as golden of an era as the Knockout did in terms of that kind of access to it. So. Sweet. It is great to have a real product to be excited about from Nerf.
Yeah.
I am very stoked to get one day if my Walmart will get their beer and gear.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of Nerf products, so there's the Sly Shot. We covered the Sly Shot on the show, and it looks like it's basically an Elite 2.0 Snapfire. Feels like the kind of product that Elite 2.0 is so, like, the initial products were so bad, and then there have been these good products under the same line, and then there's, like, if you look at, like a Flipshots blaster, and you look at an original line 2.0 blaster, and you look at...
The Moto Blitz?
Yeah, the Moto Blitz. They all feel like different product lines, but they're all called the same thing. So, like, what do we actually think the Sly Shot is going to be like?
The Sly Shot, I think, is very clearly one of the ones that is, like, Alpha Strike, because they've been kind of doing these. You can kind of notice them where they're like large one-piece shells, lots of clips, things like that. However, I think in this case, this is not a bad product. And I've seen some people kind of hating on it, like, oh, it's got very little paint. It doesn't need the paint.
Yeah.
It's $5. You're getting basically a
Snapfire. Oh, it's $5?
Yeah, it's $5.
It's
you
just
can't
a
go wrong with that.
Yeah, it's a fancy jolt.
Yeah, it's a jolt, and it's better than a Snapfire because it has a much more comfortable grip by default because it isn't a freaking cheese grater.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the only thing I see wrong is that it doesn't have screws, it appears, which Alpha Strike construction, whatever.
Right.
We've come to expect it at this point.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you if you thought that it was going to have at least screws on the back cap area where, you know, the plunger tube actually is. Like the Snapfire.
If it does, it's underneath the plastic shell. You'll still have to remove the clips on the shell.
I mean, those were pretty easy, even on the, you know, those cheaper ones. You just really just pry it and it comes off. It was a bit of a softer plastic anyways, but I guess, you know, we'll see when we finally get it in our hands.
The thing that sucks about clips like that is even if they're easy to take off, the chances of damaging it and the number of especially like younger modders who are definitely going to damage theirs attempting to... It's just very high, and I think that's a bummer. But at this price point, you know, I get it. I understand where that comes from. But that's cool that it's like, you know, it doesn't sound like a total waste. Yeah, it'll be cool to see if people can like, you know, it's like it's one of those single shot blasters where you can get high FPS out of them. So that could be kind of cool.
I definitely want one.
But Nerf, the other big thing that's kind of going on right now is the people have been getting pre-shipment notifications for the Gjallarhorn. I have not gotten mine. Vile, you said you did?
I just got mine.
You just got it?
It should be showing up Obviously, from this recording, I should be getting it tomorrow. Actually,
interesting.
So,
I don't know the situation with mine right now.
I've seen a couple people actually get theirs.
Well, so a couple people have them, and we did get to see pictures of it, and I did not realize that we were getting a triple elite shell.
I don't think anyone did, because I don't think that was a feature.
And I and considering the things that we have discussed about the triple mega shell, I have questions about whether, like, they started testing the triple mega shell and they were like, oh, we can't just give them this. And then they came up with the triple elite shell. Joel, do you want to talk about the issue with the triple mega shell?
It's very interesting. So if any of the listeners here have ever seen, like, a Tech 6 or a Tech 10 by Busby, they have those slots running down the barrels until just the very end. The mega shells are very similar to this, where they have basically probably like a quarter to a half inch, it looks like, of actual barrel at the bottom. And then the rest of the barrel is much wider and open on a couple of sides, which is just...
So there's no seal inside the barrel in the shell. You're losing a lot of power in theory.
It's not like a Spring Thunder shell either, with a dart seal against each other. It's just open space. The only reason I could think of that they might have done this is to get away with having a smaller plunger volume, because shorter barrel in theory would work better, maybe?
Does anybody who has received it, has anybody given FPS numbers? Like, do we know the velocities?
I haven't seen it.
Okay. I'm kind of surprised that nobody at least has given us that, because
I mean, until like hobbyist people really get them who own chronographs, and even still
true
are able to chronograph a triple shot, which is a relatively challenging thing to chronograph, compared to doing a single dart. It kind of makes sense that we haven't gotten one. This does not look like an easy blaster to get to fire over a chronograph.
So I will be trying to get inside of it, because when I first saw the Galahorn and the fact that it was firing triple mega, my first instinct, knowing Mega XL internals, I was very curious if they were basically going to use the internals of Mega XL as the firing mechanism, because the Prime is very light. They're all geared. You could double stack stuff as heavy as K26, which is a really heavy spring, and you can intertwine it and it would still take it no problem. I've done it personally.
That makes sense.
And I wanted to see if they are, because if it is, there is some modding potential. Obviously, I don't know how many people are going to want to mod something this expensive,
right?
But I'm crazy enough to open it, and I wanted to get inside of it to really see and dive into it and try to do some testing, just because I'm really curious what they did.
And the one thing that's cool about something like this, anytime you have something that fires shells, the easiest and most obvious mod is make new shells. And so I do think that that'll happen quickly, which I'm looking forward to. I mean, if we're concerned about the mega shell, an easy way to find out why they did it is to just make a version of the mega shell that has full barrels and see what happens.
The good news is the shell design seems to be very simple. It's basically extremely simple. With a small latch on one side, like a small thing sticking out. And honestly, it's so basic that even I could probably cat it up.
You did a good job with that barrel that you catted, that you now have one of.
Yeah, thanks. It works.
I bet you could work something out. But I'm also confident that you won't be the only one going at it, because even though the blaster itself is not very common, I think just the potential is very high. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm excited to get mine. I like my prop pieces, especially when they're Bungie related, even though I don't actually play Destiny. Maybe I'm not supposed to say this, but I got my pre-order through another person who does play Destiny and had already earned it in game and wasn't planning on buying it, like a friend of a friend, which I'm super thankful for. Which is why I don't know if I got my email or not, because they usually forward the emails to me, but may just not have gotten around to this one. So we'll see what happens. In other news of Nerf things that aren't here yet, we went through a pretty long list of leaks.
Mm-hmm.
And there is sort of like I should have opened up the Google Doc that is associated with this.
See here, there's a bunch of gelfire, but to be honest,
well, let's just so when we did it in the video, we broke it down into categories, and I think that's a good way for us to talk about it now.
Yeah,
because yes, the first one is indeed gelfire, and you know another thing that didn't make it on our news because we're just generally not like we talked about in the last podcast. Gel blasters is just it's a different sport. And we don't want to spend a lot of time, if any, on it. But it is worth mentioning that there are, in fact, 4 new gelfire blasters coming from Nerf, it looks like. And that they are clearly committed to continuing to doing the gelfire line. And similarly, there are a handful of new blasters from Primetime, gel blasters coming out. So Primetime, the parent company of Dart Zone, is also committed to this thing. So we will be seeing a lot of that. But more interestingly, is there's a new Nerf Hyperspringer. And this one is kind of throwing me off because it's $70.
Yeah.
And it's called the MS Springer. But we don't really know. That's a code name. And we don't really know if that means that it's a Springer. Like, does Nerf actually use the term Springer? I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But I could see them using it as a code name. So it's just hard to say.
I'd say with a price tag that high, I don't see it being a Springer. They have just recently had a really expensive Springer, and that's why I say that. Because what was the new one, whatever the frick it's called? It was like, what, $60? I can't see them doing that again a month later.
Yeah.
I know the one. I don't remember the name either. And the other thing is when you look at the price point, it's actually very similar to the Mach 100.
Right. And
it makes me hold out hope that original leak finally comes true like the pistol did.
Well, because right. In the first one, we got the Rush 40, and then we got the Springer shotgun, and then we got the full auto. So presumably, this line, we've only seen the pistol again and the larger Springer again.
Yeah.
So we would be expecting a flywheeler or some electric blaster.
It's a weird thing to be calling it the Springer, but I think maybe, I don't know, maybe it is one of those things where they're trying to divert us with the, you know, the code names and
could
stuff.
Be.
I don't
could
know.
Be.
Yeah.
Which feels like wasted effort because nobody cares about Hyper. Nobody that knows what the word Springer means, except for Jolt, apparently, cares about Hyper. Anyway. And then moving on, Elite 2.0. We talked about the double punch last time. This provides a price of $50. But we still don't really know anything about it. I should also say these prices are in Canadian dollars. Not yes. US dollars.
Oh, that makes a big difference, actually.
Yeah, because all these leaks came from, we mentioned this on the show again, but kidtoy.ca, Canada. But yeah, $50 Canadian for the double punch, which is what, $45 or something US?
Yeah, it's something in that range. It's close to a 40, but that would be, I mean, if it's a semi-auto, like a Strife or something in that range, that's... You know, again, speculation.
It being full auto, just because like the turbine was $40 and that was full auto.
That's true. That's true.
Right.
Extra $5, extra Magwell.
We'll see. The other Elite 2.0 is the Contender, and now we are recording this on Thursday the 26th. Tomorrow is Friday the 27th, which is presumably when we're releasing the episode, and. Grimms is off editing it right now, so I haven't actually seen it, and I don't know which pictures he's found because we didn't get all the screenshots for this, but there was a picture of the Contender, and it apparently looks like a carbine style pump action revolver with 6 shots.
I've got a picture. Let me fish it out.
Oh, we have a picture. Oh, that's great.
So the Nerf wiki was fast enough to grab the photo and upload it, and you could actually go to the Nerf wiki page and look up the contender and take a look at it. That's where I was taking a look at it from, actually.
Oh, I see. I see.
I post a picture in the text.
I could have been a contender.
It looks like that one. What was that one called? I think it was the Mako RC6, some Alpha Strike piece of crap, but actually pump action instead of just having a foregrip.
Man, that is a 90-degree foregrip, isn't it?
It do be.
Yeah.
It do be a 90-degree.
It's a very short stock on it as well.
Draw.
It does have
very short
dart
draw.
Yeah, very short draw. Obviously the dart storage in the lower thumb hole stock section, but it's interesting, but I mean
that's an Elite 2.0 blaster for sure.
It looks like one of the Alpha Strike Oids to me.
Totally.
So
totally.
I mean, I doubt this one will be a community favorite or anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, Elite 2.0 stuff. And then there is a whole bunch of licensed stuff. There is some Minecraft stuff, which they do not slow down on. The Axolotl is, I'm kicking myself because I did not take a picture when I saw it at a Walmart. So that is out. Those exist. I have seen that one in person. There's a Glow Squid water blaster, and then there's the Alchemy, which I hypothesized could have to do with the brewing mechanic in Minecraft, but who knows?
Well, obviously what this is a giant foam potion that you're supposed to bash people's heads with.
Listen, if it was Minecraft throwables, those would be really popular.
Just like the HVZ.
It might actually, that'd be pretty cool.
That would be amazing.
It might be like HVZ stuff, you know?
But for 60, that's true. For $60 Canadian, though, I don't know about that. That would have to be a lot of throwables.
I didn't even see the price tag point, actually. Now that I see that, I guess definitely not throwables.
And then Fortnite is getting a bunch of micro shots. But the interesting thing is the Rad AR. And we talked about this a bunch because they do have a Rad Emissions wrap in Fortnite, which is like a radioactive logo with it's a very gun-like weapon in game, but it's black with yellow writing, and if they reverse the colors, I could see it as a skin for the existing Fortnite AR. But it is kind of wild to me that they are still reskinning the Fortnite AR.
Yes.
In 2023.
They've reskinned it.
I don't actually understand why. They turn up at thrift stores. I see them in people's videos and whatever. People find these all the time. They must sell pretty well.
Yeah, I guess so.
Now, me personally.
Kind of iconic, aren't they? So, I mean.
Yeah,
I can see
it is. It's an iconic weapon.
I played Fortnite. The ARs were very, you know, the rifle to get in the game. I personally love the mags. I think the mags are some of the fun, like goofiest mags to put in it. Actually, my Rapid Strike that I built has one of the black translucent black ones that you got from the Frosty version.
You know what else is cool about those mags is in a lot of blasters you can use them as a stand.
Yes,
and it holds it at
it's
an angle.
So enormous.
Yes, well, it's got that huge flat spot on it. They're great for doing photos, or if you want to take a picture of your mag blaster, that whatever it is. Those mags are great. I love them. They put it at a slight angle, you know, because of the curve. They're goofy colors, but yeah, they've reskinned it what, 5-6 times now, almost.
There was the original yellow. There was a purple one. There was a white one that came with a bunch of stickers. There was that transparent one. There was the what's that guy's name?
Travis Scott, the special edition.
Yep, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
That's five. I don't think there was another one yet.
I think it ends at that, and this, if this is another, would be a sixth. But I mean, like I said, I personally like the different colors in the mags. The mags are my favorite part to those blasters, to be honest.
Right. Well, we'll have more of them.
And then, I'm ready for it.
They also gave us some new Dungeons and Dragons stuff. No idea what the Walker is. No idea what Tatum is. I assume that these things are related to the movie that's coming out, because I don't know those terms in D&D itself. So, and then that's everything in the licensed stuff. And then there's these limited ones. And one of them appears to be the front, is codenamed Frontier, which we assume is the Star Trek blasters. That has a price tag of 180 Canadian. And that's for, we haven't talked about that on this show yet, which is actually a good topic. The Star Trek blasters is, for anyone familiar with Star Trek, there's a Type 3 phaser rifle, which is like a full length rifle that goes pew pew. And then there's a Type 2 phaser, which is like a pistol, but it looks like a funky remote control. It's curved. And this set for Star Trek comes with both of those. And the phaser rifle is like pretty accurate to the show looking. And it's just like a jolt. And it looks pretty awesome, honestly. Like, it's a great little Star Trek collector piece.
Yeah, that's the one everyone wants.
Yeah, exactly. But unfortunately, it's bundled with the phaser rifle, which was first popularized in Star Trek First Contact, but it's like...
It's boring.
It doesn't look like it's being assimilated. Okay, I'm a huge Star Trek nerd.
So am I.
It does not look like it's being assimilated by the Borg. It just has Borg stuff on it. And additionally, if you are familiar with the Borg and Star Trek, they would not assimilate a phaser rifle. Nope. They do not care about phaser rifles. It does not make any sense, and it would have been better to just give us a phaser rifle.
Yeah. And the Type 2.
There are so many. Give us the Star Trek Jolt sampler.
Yes.
I would adore a box that's just jolts of – that's just micro shots of the Type 1 phaser, the Type 2 phaser, the – Klingon disruptor, the Romulan disruptor, the Bajoran phaser, blah, 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 blah. Give us all of them, a little lineup of them. That would be incredible.
See, now you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
Give us a Borg headset that shoots a little red dart out of the side.
Yes.
Remake the Perceptor, but Borg.
Yes. Exactly. There's so many cool options for Star Trek for Nerf, and they did one of them and bundled it with a bad one. For $180 Canadian dollars. Come on.
It was so frustrating because I grew up as a huge Star Trek fan, and you know, Iron Gopher even pointed this out. Like, this is so annoying because the Type 2, you know, handheld is so iconic. And those of us, like, we'll take into, say, cosplayers or people who love to go to conventions and stuff like this. When you start to do stuff weird, like Borgify these phasers and stuff like that. And these, like, when you did that, you've completely ruined the ability for even people who might be interested in the cosplay or costume aspect. You've destroyed it. They can't take it, like, just the blaster itself, even non-painted, because it looks so goofy and it's not like even close. And then if you do paint it, it's got all these weird greeble work on it that's supposed to be Borgified, and you've ruined it. And the Type 2 would have sold so well on its own because so many of us that grew up with it, that liked it, that are familiar with it, that's like a one that is much more iconic to see. And if you are a huge fan, you would have wanted that whether you painted it or not.
Absolutely.
And it's frustrating. It's really frustrating to see, because I was excited when I heard about him, and then when I saw him, I instantly lost all care.
Nobody wants Borg puke rifle.
I, again, huge Star Trek fan since childhood. Mm-hmm. I haven't even considered ordering it. I don't know. I'm frustrated by it. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
The other ones have weird code names. I have no clue what they are. New SS-1, Our House 2, and Joseph.
Yeah. The most random names I have ever seen. Literally, new. It's new is part of the name. New SS-1.
Yeah.
It is so... And Joseph.
Joseph.
Just Joseph. Just, yeah.
Later, maybe we'll get a recolor called Brosif.
Brosif. Yeah. For 120 CAD.
It is. So, but it is cool to see that the limited line. Is it cool to see that the limited line is continuing? It's been kind of a mixed bag so far, I guess.
Yeah. I would say some of them are good, some of them are so-so.
Yeah. I mean, the Needler, amazing. I'm absolutely in love with my Needler. I'm completely and utterly pleased with it. I definitely just pick it up and carry it around sometimes just for fun, because I absolutely just, it just feels so good and looks so good and is so satisfying.
I am still hoping that they make, kind of like they did with the Mandalorian rifle, I'm really hoping that a lower cost version of the Needler comes out, just because I would like to have one that doesn't have the bells and whistles that I don't feel bad kind of smashing into, you know what I mean?
I'm curious if that's really going to happen though, because the Needler, it's much more like the bells and whistles are much more integrated into what's going on. Like the, you know, the lights are triggered by the, first of all, it's an electric blaster because it's an AEG. And then the lights are, turn off in sequence with the number of shots that you fired. I don't know, because like, I don't think that they would want to sell a version of the Needler that like didn't light up and it doesn't make sounds. So there's no like speaker to take out of it like they did. You know what I mean? Like they just took all the electronic stuff out of the cheap version of the Mandalorian rifle. But you can't do that to this blaster because it's an electric blaster.
Okay.
So I doubt they haven't done that with anything except the Mandalorian rifle.
Actually, you're
and
true,
the reaction to it was extremely negative when they did it. So they may actually have been scared off of doing that, because I would expect a cheap version of the Aliens one for sure.
Yeah, that's true. And at which I still haven't received mine because it's at a family member's house and I haven't gone to pick mine up yet.
Because that one, again, is an electric blaster, but they could paint it less and they could do all these things. There's no paint really on the Needler. It's all color differential. So there's no paint to not do on that one either. So I honestly don't think we're going to see a cheaper version of the Needler. I think the Needler is definitely intended to be a high-end collector's piece.
The LMTD thing that I'm interested in is the sharpshooter.
That's true. I forgot about that.
I pre-ordered that.
When are you supposed to get it?
I think they ship like December. Mm. It's still a ways off.
I completely forgot that about that as well.
That
actually.
Is a lot of that did, is a just, year.
I know it is a long way off, but I mean, come on! It looks cool.
It does.
It comes
look
with
cool.
a sticker sheet too that looks so cool.
It does look very cool. That is right up your alley. Also, I had honestly completely forgotten about that.
Yeah, so
I remember
did I.
seeing it and being like, "Oh, that's so neat!" And then
I pre-ordered it first day.
How much was that? Can I ask you, Joel, how much was that?
$30, which sounds like a lot for a single shot pistol,
no,
but if
I
you look
it.
At the retail price of the original, this is actually like a dollar or so cheaper adjusted for inflation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, I mean, and you get stickers you didn't get with the original. So, I mean, take that as you will.
Yeah. Well, now, here in the middle of the show, and definitely not at the end of the show, because we forgot to do it in the middle of the show, and we're editing it into the middle of the show, it is time for us to play, what did I call it? What's that blaster? Wow, incredible.
It's the game.
Brave. It's the game. We're going to play What's That Blaster? This is our game where one of us doesn't name. I know what I'm talking about. This is our game where one member of the team looks up a blaster and reads the official Nerf description with the name and the ammo type removed for the other two folks to guess what the blaster is just based on that text. This is based on Guess That Flavor Text, a game in the Pokemon TCG podcast, Uncommon Energy, which I have stolen. And if we cannot guess what it is or we're unsure, we can call upon three lifelines. One of them is the release year of the blaster. One is the blaster's stock capacity, not including features like being able to load one in the chamber. Just the listed stock capacity, Jolt.
Shut up.
and what was the other one?
What was it, release year? Or did we already cover that one?
No, I already said release year. And the other one is original retail price. Ha ha.
Yeah.
And if you guess immediately, you get 4 points. And for each lifeline you use, you lose a point. Last time around, I picked the Diatron, and Jolt and Vile were able to guess what that blaster was. In fact, Jolt immediately knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And this time around, Jolt has a blaster to read off for me and Vile, and we will attempt to guess it.
All right.
So what you got? What you got, Jolt?
All right. Blast into battle with the Nerf blank blaster. Stay sharp with this top-loading single-fire blaster. Move back the slide to access the breech. Load a dart into the top of the blaster. Move the slide forward to close the breech and prime the blaster. Select a target and pull the trigger to fire. Reload and fire again. Sized for mobility, the blank blaster includes 4 blank darts.
Okay. So...
There is so many. There are so
it's
many.
It's single shot breech loaded. Okay, wait. So, okay, sized for mobility. Does that just mean it's small, or does that mean something special?
I mean, it's Hasbro.
Okay. Here's my guess. Here's my guess. The opening line was "Stay sharp with."
Yeah.
So I think it's the sharp fire.
You gonna lock that in?
Wow, what do you think?
Oh man, I have a feeling that you're right, because when you're talking, so I have a feeling it's the sharp fire. The only problem is that if it is the sharp fire, the original one came with a stock and a barrel attachment, though, didn't it?
That's true, and they didn't say anything
and
about that.
And it said nothing about that.
You're right. It the absolutely would have included that in the blurb.
Yeah, and. That's my only reason why, is because they usually will talk about the attachments or something like that. Usually. Right. Oh,
okay.
Jolt
so
had
we
to
know,
use
we,
one.
That well, has... we already know. No. Yeah. Right. What, what other, okay. What other single, what other breech loaders do we have
for top? That would be the Falcon Fire, Sharp Fire. There is, God, the problem is there's a few others, and I know I'm missing their names. The problem is, as well, is seeing how many darts, because it came with 4 darts. Normally what...
But it's single shot.
But it's a single shot. However, a lot of times they have dart storage, and they might give you enough for the storage that's on a blaster like that. That's my only problem. So, like, say the Falcon Fire had 2 dart storage in the front, and obviously for the single... shot.
I think you I mean, Falcon Fire feels like, because, like, I think you're right, if it was the Sharp Fire, it would include the accessories in the description. It would include the modularity, quote-unquote modularity. That's stock on that thing is like this ridiculous,
right?
What other ones are we forgetting, though? Because it, you know, there's no branding in it in the description or anything like that. Like, it just, it's a straight up.
You want to use a lifeline here?
Well, so yeah. The stock capacity lifeline is useless, because we know the stock capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of not removable from the actual description.
Yeah, no,
nope,
that's totally fine. Vile, what do we think? Would the price be more useful, or the release year? The release year would at least narrow down, like, whether it's Elite or Elite 2.0 or neither.
I mean, your only concern is if it is something like the Sharp Fire or the Falcon, is that Falcon Fire was also AccuStrike, and the Sharp Fire was not. So
that's true.
Knowing, you know, that starts, and you're getting close into release years. My only concern, and same thing, even with price point, they were going to be very, very similar. Because there were Sharp Fires, there were the Star Trek Sharp Fires, but it didn't say anything about the Star Trek versions, which did not come with the stocks, if I remember correctly.
Interesting.
It was Star Wars, actually.
Star Wars. Say Star Trek. Yeah,
no,
we're talking about Star Trek.
Only thing Star Trek gets is a Borgified, Borgified Falcon Fire. That's right. What we get.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, Vile. Should we lock it? Do we think that either of those is going to help us? Or should we just go for the max points or strike out? Because I think you're right about the Sharp Fire. I heard Stay Sharp, and I was like, oh, Sharp Fire. But I think you're right. They would have listed the accessories if that's what it was.
You know what's going to frustrate me? If it's the knockout.
Oh, wait a second.
You know what's going to frustrate me is if it's the knockout, but I don't remember if it came if it came with two or four balls. I don't remember.
Oh, it came with two.
It came with two.
Because I specifically remember because it has storage on both sides.
Yeah.
For rival balls, but it only gave you one to fit in the visible storage on one side.
Okay.
I remember that was like a whole joke.
Oh my God. But it didn't.
No, it said four darts. It said four darts.
It's true. Yeah, yeah. They would have said darts. Good, because that knocks out rivals not being as part of it then.
Yeah. Breach load. I don't know.
There's a lot of... And that's the problem.
It's funny to me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I kind of feel like we just roll with the Falcon Fire.
You want to lock that in as your answer?
Like, if we got the year, would that help us? Do you know what year the Falcon Fire came out?
God, if I only...
I need to spend a day reading the wiki.
I know.
Just, like, reading stuff I think Jolt would pick.
Yeah.
You're going to pick next time.
Knowing Jolt, it's probably something from, like, early 2000s.
Yeah. is there a pre-elite... Breach loader?
I'm sure there probably is.
Do y'all want to actually use a lifeline or?
We can use a lifeline. If we get the year at least, I think
we would like to use our release year lifeline.
All right. The year released is 2016.
Oh, there you go. So then that would be the Sharp Fire if it's going to be either. It would be the Sharp Fire because the Falcon Fire was later since it was part of the AccuStrike line. That's the only thing I could imagine. But that's
what year was AccuStrike then?
I want to say it was later, but I don't know.
Okay,
this is stuff. This is all up Jolt's alley. This is why Jolt's just freaking out, like having a great time.
I mean, did they really make the Sharp Fire and not mention? Okay. Should we just go with that then?
Are you
confident that that's the that's not
no,
the release
actually,
year of the Falcon
the more
Fire?
I realize it, the older I realize I am, because AccuStrike is probably older, way older than I realize, and I'm just sitting here thinking like, oh no, that was only a few years ago, and
come on, man.
We'll go with Falcon Fire. Just go with
it. All right. We're locking it in. We're doing it. We're going with the Falcon Fire. Hit us, Jolt.
You got it wrong.
What? I had a feeling.
So you want to know what I picked?
Which one was it?
What is it?
So you were half right with Sharp Fire, but you forgot that they re-released it the next year without the attachments. It's the Sharp Fire Delta.
Are you kidding me? Wait, what is it called?
The Sharp Fire Delta. It's literally just a Sharp Fire in blue with no attachments.
Yeah, so they've re-released the Sharp Fire on numerous occasions, and I remember that they had done that. And they did it with the Star Wars, and that's the problem is that it's basically like the Jolt getting reskinned over and over again in just different color variants. But one of them did not have, the first one had the attachments, and basically from then on never had attachments.
Actually, the Mandalorian one had the barrel, but not the stock.
Right, that's true.
Either. I knew that one would trip you up.
See, I gave y'all an easy one to start it off, and you're just like...
I told you I'd make it hard.
You're just dig... I mean, I knew you would.
Jolt's going to go for the one that has been re-released 17 times. You're going to choose the one that literally has nothing in it, and it's been...
I realize you didn't remember that the Sharp Fire Delta existed.
I don't remember the Delta at all.
I knew that they re-released the thing. I would not have remembered that name. I would not have remembered that that's what they called it.
How do I remember this stuff?
because you basically live in the wiki.
Yeah, pretty much.
I could. Hey, to be fair, I could have picked some really obscure vintage blaster.
I probably would have got it. I probably would have got that one.
At our age, that is obscure and vintage.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, well, okay, moving on to third party stuff. The Sweetheart Storm FB1. I don't know anything about this.
It's an AEG tube with a resin shell on it, basically.
Oh, right. I remember that conversation that it's an AEG. That is actually kind of interesting.
I think it's kind of cool, but there have been reports that basically the resin printed parts will show up damaged or they will get damaged very easily, which I can see. It's resin.
Yeah. Resin does not like... I've done a lot of 3D printing, both resin and FDM, and resins just do not hold up. They're much more fragile. They're brittle, I guess is the best way to put it. They're much more brittle. And a lot of times those resins are, I'm assuming if it's, you know, printed resin, it's UV resin, which means taking it out in any sunlight or UV light that it gets on it will continuously cure it and make it worse. Essentially, it's like getting UV damage to plastics, but it's worse.
That's highly questionable.
Yeah, so I'm a little... You know, I'm really interested in AEB or AEG stuff. I love it. I think it's something that the hobby really needs, because I think it's especially for those that do pro level stuff or want really interesting, mechanisms. However, in this case, if it's resin, there's a lot of parts. I like it better when I see modders or companies use SLS, which is a powder based, like nylons. They can print it in a nylon. Actually, a lot of people like Roboman uses it. Ezekiel, that for his a lot of his kits, uses it. And that stuff comes out fantastic. It's usually very, very strong, very durable. You know, I'm surprised they would have gone resin when there's much better solutions out there. But maybe it's just the cost. I have no idea.
It's one of those blasters that just isn't on our radar because it's not in the same part of the world as we are.
Yeah, and it's such a different thing than like most stuff that we have access to.
Yeah,
the only thing that I would say is even similar is the Colonel Wasp 76, and even that is kind of different because it's not like it's its own shell, where it looks like the Sweetheart Storm is basically AEG tube with bits attached.
Hmm. Yeah, it looks similar. Oh, God, there was one. And it's kind of like how Jolt was saying, it's in the same realm where it's in in that part of the world. There was another blaster that looked very similar to this one, but it wasn't AEB or AEG. I think it was a pump action originally. And it's almost like they took that tube version of it and made it an AEG. And... Huh. It reminds me of that because I remember seeing a tubed version of like another blaster that was a pump action, and seeing that it's from from Black Raisins, I guess is the Black Raisins that's making this particular the Sweetheart. It looks like it is.
No,
I'm not really. I'm just seeing the video that somebody had, and it just says Black Raisins, which is for anybody who doesn't know Black Raisins. If I'm not mistaken, is a I want to say they're a Chinese manufacturer of upgraded parts or like blasters. I'm pretty sure. I've never purchased anything from them, so I can't really say. I've just seen their name from time to time. So
I think they're just kind of obscure enough over here that it's one of those things you just don't really know as much about unless you're really into it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's interesting to see more of this style of blaster. Because what was that last one that came out recently? The AEG that people were talking about?
The Colonel Bradley Wasp 76.
The 76, yeah.
Yeah, which I have one. And I will say they're really awesome. And there's a lot of people who have done some stuff in it. Actually, Silly Butts has done some modding to it. Because the 76, again, anybody who doesn't know, it's a little bit more of a unique version. It doesn't just cycle the prime and fire. It also has a... a oscillating barrel. The everything, like the barrel actually moves forward and back. And Silly Butts found that you can keep the barrel stationary and not have to have it move back and forth, and it will work just fine. It actually did a whole 3D printed kit to get rid of that. And actually, it looks like a pretty decent kit too. I have to take a better look at it, but yeah.
And then the Trion is now available in Europe.
Which yeah, it's on Blaster Time.
Well, and it seems like that's awfully quick for how these products usually, how long they usually take to get to Europe, right?
Yeah, I know that with Dart Zone, it took them quite a long time to get their products over, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking about how long it was before, like how that very long period where everybody's like, what blaster should I get? Nexus Pro. I live in Europe. Oh, I don't know then.
Yeah, or pay a ridiculous amount to get it shipped over.
Right.
And it, yeah, seeing how fast they got it, I'm very, very surprised. I have no idea what, because I know a lot of those countries have jewel restrictions and things like that for certain, you know, toys or blasters, things like that. So I'm surprised to see that happen.
I mean, it's interesting because it seems like Game Face must have immediately started on that when they knew that they were working on the product. They must have started on distribution to Europe at least as soon as they started on their U.S. distribution.
Right.
Which is very interesting to see a company like Game Face that is newer in the scene here thinking about that kind of stuff. Kind of cool. Continuing to move on down the list here. Okay, so this one was wild to me, especially as a YouTube creator. Coop772. I don't know if y'all have heard about this emerging YouTube artist. Coop772 is I would describe him as the biggest hobby, like Nerf hobby oriented channel in terms of his following. He has 1.6 million followers. Subscribers on YouTube as of right now, because obviously there are other channels like Make Test Battle that do others, or obviously Kinkowski, what's his channel called?
PDK Films.
Yeah, PDK yeah. Films, massive following, but most of his content is not, it's not hobby oriented. He's not generally talking about like what blasters people should buy or modding or things like that.
No, he's really more of a filmmaker.
Which is great. But Coop is kind of the largest channel that really talks about the hobby itself. And he has made the decision to shift his content from what I would describe as the review grind, where products come in and you make a review video of them and you post it. And it can become very difficult to find time to make other content while you're in that cycle. And he's decided to just ditch it completely and only do videos on things he's interested in. He hasn't really enumerated what that means. He doesn't have like a new production schedule or anything. He has just said, I'm changing it. I'm not doing the review grind anymore. And moving on. And he punctuated this with a photograph of a painted Dart Zone Tomcat, which is not, Joel, you were saying, not his first mod that he posted recently.
Yeah, he did a try-on recently.
He did a try-on, that's right.
In the same paint style.
Right. So it does seem like it's interesting to me, and I want both of your thoughts on this too. It's interesting to me because Coop is one of the most seen faces of the hobby to people who would not consider themselves part of the hobby because he has such a large following and such a large view count.
Absolutely. When I first was getting into Nerf back in like 2018, I obviously went to YouTube because, I mean, what else do you do?
Right.
And he was like the first result.
Yeah.
So if he's going to do more of these kinds of mod content, that's a really large audience that's going to be exposed to that kind of thing. And I'm interested to see what that entails for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was saying that too, when, you know, having that large of a fan base, same thing. When I first started getting into this, I stumbled across Coop videos. I wasn't really looking at it for the modding, because like you said, it was more of the review grind. But that doesn't mean that, like, say, some of the older Coop videos weren't popping up. Because obviously we know that Coop didn't get into being just a review channel at the beginning. Coop was doing a lot of other stuff much earlier on that was more in the modding aspect, or even just joke videos or whatever, you know. And the review grind kind of came as time went on, obviously, and stuff started getting sent to him and things like that. Obviously, you kind of feel this obligation, and I think all three of us at some point in time have had that kind of like, oh, you know, obviously with KT, you do more of that, and it's supposed to be for the parents, not necessarily for the kids.
Yeah.
On your stuff. And then, you know, Jolt's done some reviews, I've done some reviews, and I know that feeling of like, I don't, like, in my sense, I don't want to be in the review spotlight. I would much rather be in the modding aspect of you know, here's what I can do with this particular item, and that's much more interesting to me, or that's just what I want to stay within in that realm.
Well, because I actually made a decision recently. I haven't announced, I didn't like go out of my way to announce this, but the only reviews I'm going to do are my 1 minute reviews. If I'm reviewing products, I'm doing more of a video, in a long form video. It's more of a discussion about a type of product. And like, I'm going to do a video about Elite Junior, but I'm not sitting here reviewing every single blaster and telling you all the details of them. I'm talking about their concepts in general, why it's important for parents, why I recommend the line, what I think it means for Nerf going forward. Then each blaster will get its 1 minute review. Because I think, like, I am not interested. I'm excited to see this because I am not interested in watching a 10-minute video, and YouTube wants you to make 10-minute videos about whatever, the Elite 2.0 Sly Shot, right?
Yeah.
Like, or even the Rival Pilot. I'm excited about the Rival Pilot, but I don't need to see a 10-minute review of it.
Yeah, you're kind of dragging a little bit.
So I'm excited about that, and I'm also excited that... not in time for our editing process, but like immediately after we recorded our segments, American Foam made a... I actually just want to read American Foam's post. So American Foam, shortly after Coop's post started getting seen, big shout out to Coop772 for his community post today and for pushing me into a state of clarity on my channel as well. Just making videos on cruddy blasters, foam or gel, because they were sent to you for review to keep the YouTube algorithm happy, is soul killing. All caps, no longer. It might mean less content for me, but I don't care anymore. AdSense revenue is barely making the minimum level for payout these days anyway. Thank goodness I have a real job, LOL. Time to step outside my comfort zone a little. More mods, more thrifting vids, maybe some collabs. Who knows? Excited to see where this takes me. Let's find out together, shall we? And 2 days later, he posted an ad. He's going to be on Maritime Foam's Friday night live stream tomorrow. So that's
tomorrow
exciting.
For us, not tomorrow for the viewers.
Tomorrow for us. Today, if we release this on time, for you, and yesterday, if we don't. So I think that's really exciting. I hope that this is a larger... I'm really excited that Brad, American Foam, came out and said this immediately. And I hope that it creates a larger shift, because I definitely noticed when I was starting to make content, there were a lot of other, mostly younger content creators, like just trying to start out doing this. And some of them were like almost directly copying Coop's review style. Mm-hmm. And I think that there was a sense that was like how you do Nerf videos. Like, you get a blaster and you do a review video of it. And then maybe you do the like top down mod video of it, I guess.
Coop never really does mods in the videos. Like,
No, I know, but I'm thinking more about like old Drac mod videos where it's just like the camera down on the table and the blaster's open and he's talking at the same time that he's like doing stuff. And so I feel like those are kind of the two styles of videos that I would tend to see out of newer creators. But it's like, I would like to see more people doing like what Jangular does, where he just like talks about topics, or what Captain Xavier does, where he's you know, his videos where he just like takes a whole blaster apart and puts it all back together and talks about all the little nitty gritty details. And it's like, is that a video I'm going to sit down and just watch? No, but it is a video that has saved my butt like 10 times when I had something open and I didn't know how to put it back together. Absolutely. And mm-hmm. those things just need to exist in the world. And so I hope that bigger creators starting to break out of that cycle can lead to other creators getting more creative, younger, newer creators getting more creative with what they want to make. And that I feel like that can only be good for the hobby as a whole.
I agree with you on that one. Because I think you're right. Even I think, you know, some of us, when we first started, you know, myself included, a lot of times we do kind of see like, okay, what's a good way to set up a video? What's a good way? What are people possibly going to be interested in seeing as well? And if you're trying to convey something, like in my case, I did a couple of review videos. Mostly I was like, okay, well, people will be interested in this. Or if I do modding videos, I try to not have it so much where it's like me talking directly over me, like drilling or something. Yep. You know, I don't want that. I would much, because, you know, you mentioned Captain Xavier. Even in Xavier's modding videos, a lot of times it would be, let me quickly tell you what I'm doing, what's going on. And then they would, you know, scroll through it or whatever. Stuff like that is very important because, you know, people have a limited time. And the longer your video is, a lot of times people start skipping and they might miss details. Yep. And I think it's good because these bigger people have been in the game. They've been doing it long enough that they kind of understand how to keep the attention of people for a very good time. And I think if they start making that shift, maybe that can start showing better editing, better videos, better mod guides in some cases. Like I will say it again, Jolt's guide on a Retalicon is still a really good, really concise, and that's something that I think more people need to do, especially in our hobby, to keep the attention and make it to where people don't want to just skip. If you skip, you could potentially miss those couple of little details, and people have time that they don't want to burn. They're going to want to get through the video faster and get the information they need.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's so many more possibilities with how you can present this information in a way that's engaging and exciting, and maybe less formulaic, where you let the thing that you're working on sort of inform how the video goes. So, mm-hmm. So Coop and Brad, Brad seems to listen to the podcast or to listen to the last episode. So
hi, Brad.
Really excited.
Hi, Brad.
Really excited for you. And really excited to see what comes next and where they go and the impact that has on other creators in the hobby and on our viewing audience of people who may not yet really be in the hobby and are just learning about it through content on the internet. And speaking of content creators on the internet, our last topic is Maryland Mayhem, and the team that puts this together, I know that one of the folks is Boomstick, who I got to meet at a Foamdemic event last year. And I am excited about this event because it's not that far from me, and I'd really like to head down and check it out. And it's really cool to see. So Maryland Mayhem, Vile, do you want to outline it since you did the segment on this?
Oh, actually, I think Grimms did.
But I can quickly go over it.
So for anybody who doesn't know, it is basically a 3-day event that will be taking place April 14th through the 16th, and they have the UMBC HVZ. They then have the Maryland Mayhem, like foam. Or what was it? Oh, I'm trying to remember all the names. So there was three basic events. Or it was that's what it was. The UMBC HVZ Invitational, the Maryland Foam Tournament, and the 11th Hour. So there are each day there was going to be something taking place. There are basically three events, one event per day. So it's going to be a pretty big thing actually going on. I'm actually really, I would say if you can make it, KT, this sounds like a really cool, I've never actually been to an HVZ. Because of where I was, most of them were up further north, like closer to Portland or, you know, up in Washington. But I am closer, so if they do start happening, I may have a chance. But I think it looks like a really fun event, even if it's just for one day or if you can make all three. It sounds really cool.
I think it's really exciting to see an event like this, especially like a triple header event like this, that is entirely community run. They have sponsorships from, according to their sponsor sheet,
Array.
And but it's like Band Blasters, Dart Zone, Out of Darts, Alpha Geek, Foam Blast, Zelko, Silver Fox, and Dart Sweep. Dart Sweep is one of the hosts, also. But it is, it's not the Dart Zone. It's not the Dart Zone event. It's not the Out of Darts event. They're sponsors. And I think that that's really exciting that it's just a community-run triple header event. It seems like they have a big, robust team because it's multiple different groups that have banded together to run the full weekend. I'm very hopeful about this. I think it looks fabulous. It looks like this is such a thing that our community just needs more of.
Yeah, I would say that I would say that for the community as well. You know, we were all very excited, obviously, about like big name companies trying to run events. But when we see something that's community based that can get sponsorships that help with it, and we can get so many people doing it, for what I can tell and what I know, I have a feeling that this is going to go fairly smoothly because you have so many people that are kind of helping to, you know, take it into bite-sized pieces. It's not just one individual that's running the whole event. It's not, you know, it's not going to be a huge thing. It sounds like there's some really good community members that are running it. And, you know, having sponsors that can help run these events just make them go that much smoother as well.
Yeah.
I would say a lot of times, because like when I first got in this hobby and I saw these events, even the ones that like, again, Captain Xavier's videos showing some of the HVZ stuff and seeing like these tables set up for community things, and they would have like blasters that could be that you could win if you reach certain goals and things like that. Mm-hmm. Having sponsors and having people who can help make that possible. And that makes for such an engaging and fun and, you know, just competitive if you want. Like, it just makes a really good event. And a triple header like this is massive.
Mm.
So I'm really hoping that this goes through. I really want to hear stories. KT, looking at you.
So. Yeah. I mean, I very seriously am looking at going to this. It's right up my alley, and it's achievable for sure. So hopefully I'll be able to report back in 8 episodes, six, seven episodes, about how it is. But yeah, I'm very hopeful. Definitely some names on here that I trust. So I think this is super, super cool. Oh, we skipped over. We just like skipped right over the new X shot.
Oh, the X shot skins.
We just jumped right over it. We were I don't know,
it's
man.
It's 3 Flex 6 in cool colors.
I will say for this podcast though, did anybody catch the story that Zuru put up on their Instagram?
No.
No.
Okay, Zuru memed hard on Nerf.
Okay.
Do you know the meme of the guy who's like walking with his girlfriend and looking back at the other girl like he's like interested?
Yeah, I am.
They literally had that, and Nerf was the girlfriend and X-Shot was the girl he was looking at. Oh,
dang, that's a sick burn right there.
It was
that's
Zuru,
incredible.
Zuru put it up on their stories, obviously on Instagram, and it obviously, you know, 24 hours it's gone, and I saw it and I was like, oh, they're taking the shot.
I feel like I've seen them do stuff like that before. I feel like Zuru just has a social media set up where they just have someone, they're like, ah, just do whatever.
I don't see it as often. I follow them.
Yeah.
And I do not see that type of stuff nearly as often, because, and that's what I like, is they don't just flood their social media with that.
Yeah.
It's nice having that little one that just kind of pops up out of nowhere, because you're like, oh, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just had to throw that in there, because I know that the new X-Shot skin, I do like the skins though. I still love the skins line. I think it's a really cool line personally.
It's totally not biased there, huh?
Shut up. Shut up, Chol. You don't have to know anything.
It's a cool concept.
I have a couple other blasters. It is really nice because the printing's decently high quality, and the artwork is pretty cool.
Yeah, I do really like their artwork. So they have some really cool skins for these blasters. You don't even really have to paint them because they already look really good. They already look good.
That is true. That is nice. They do keep releasing quote unquote new blasters that are just their existing blasters with slightly different shells.
Well, yeah. That's literally Zuru. I think the last time they had a new actual different action blaster was, what was that? I think it must have been the Crusher, I want to say.
I don't remember.
Maybe. Yeah, the Crusher was kind of a big, they really pushed the Crusher hard.
Oh no, it was the skins, the pump action one from the skins line. That was the last one that they did.
Oh, was that actually new?
Yeah, that was actually new.
Okay. Well, I think that is it for this, our second episode of the podcast. Thank you, everybody, for what? It's not like I'm editing this onto the end of the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We are currently just on YouTube, but we are working on getting this put on Apple Podcasts. It just takes time for them to approve us, Apple Podcasts and other podcast platforms. So we will get there. Thank you for hanging with us on YouTube with this, and for enjoying the show itself. Please continue to give us your notes and your thoughts on how we can continue to improve both. And thanks for spending your time. Do y'all have anything to shout out that you're working on right now?
Jolt?
Jolt?
I don't think so.
Okay. For myself, I have pilots that I am working on. Multiples. I am trying to, and in the same vein of most of my other mods, it's I'm mega AR modding a pilot.
You can catch Vile working on these things live at twitch.tv/Vile_mods. Link will be in the description, of course.
Thank you.
Those are on Friday and Saturday nights, or Friday and Saturday afternoon tonight, really.
Yeah.
And I am working on Family Foam Sport content. I've just been busy with other stuff. I'm writing a song every single day this month. And I have to upload my song today still, actually. But you can check that stuff out at Kinetic Turtle on YouTube, because they gave us these weird YouTube handles. And that's how you find people now. You can find my Bandcamp. All that stuff is linked through other things. So yeah, I'm busy with the stuff. And I think that's it. I think that's a podcast. We casted the pod. Yay.
Indeed.
Yay. Good job, everybody.
It was very effective.
It was